And now let us hear the word of God from the 9th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 2nd verse. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. In the providence of God who called this convention into being, we are met for the 84th convention at Keswick, since it was founded 91 years ago, only interrupted by war years. The convention, which had such small beginnings, is now worldwide in its scope. And we welcome not only the thousands who have come from various parts of the British Isles, but many hundreds from other lands, including some closely connected with sister conventions overseas. Though we are met in peaceful conditions, as far as this country is concerned, we are under no illusion about the state of the world in which we live. While we thank God here for liberty of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and an environment in which, generally speaking, we are free to act according to conscience, there are vast areas and large populations where these spiritual and material freedoms do not operate, where men's lives are characterized by fear. We thank God that during this past month at Earl's Court, the good news of salvation has been faithfully proclaimed night by God's servant Billy Graham, and the response both there and at the centers where closed television circuit relays took place has shown that there is a great spiritual hunger, especially on the part of the young, which only the Prince of Peace, of whom we have just read, can satisfy. As in Isaiah's day, when people walked in darkness, we could single out today in various continents lands where deep darkness prevails. But we thank God that by the preaching of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. The coming of the Prince of Peace is the only solution of world problems, of international problems, and of local problems, because they're all human problems, arising from human sin and lust and selfishness. And the Prince of Peace alone can bring peace to the individual human heart, peace through the blood of his cross. We take it for granted that the majority of those who come to Keswick are those who already have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So every year there are some who find that they have come almost under false pretenses and discover their need of reconciliation and the peace that comes from forgiveness of sin. But many who know this peace are painfully aware that in the stress of modern life, in the experience of adverse circumstances, they too readily react by exhibiting anxiety, fear, uncertainty. The message of the convention has always been to remind believers of the endless resources that they have in Christ and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. An inner God-given peace which is independent of outward circumstances. From the platform during this coming week, you will not hear suggested solutions of political, economic, or sociological problems. But I make bold to say that in the secular environment in which we are called upon to live and witness, the message of full salvation which is preached will prove to be the best answer for all these problems. Indeed, it is the only answer, as Christ himself is the only answer to bewildering world problems. We must not shrink from being involved in our secular world, whether in business, in industry, in the professions, or in ordinary domestic life. But our lives must back up the message we seek to proclaim. It is here where we ourselves are so often frustrated, because we have not learned how to possess the abundant life which Christ promises to all those who are prepared to pay the price of full surrender to him. Last year at the convention, we had with us one who was long associated with the Mandeville Convention in Jamaica as secretary, Mr. Ernest Clark, who greatly appreciated the opportunity of fellowship at the convention. He was suddenly called home 2 days before he was due to return to Jamaica. After the great crusade in Australia and Sydney, Dr. Billy Graham suggested that Dr. Ralph Mitchell, a member of his team, with his wife, should attend the Keswick Convention and report on what had taken place in Australia. We welcomed him on this platform and greatly enjoyed his genial fellowship. Dr. and Mrs. Mitchell had planned to visit England again for the Greater London Crusade and then to attend the convention at Keswick. But in March last, the Lord suddenly took Ralph Mitchell to himself and Dr. Billy Graham preached the funeral sermon. In April last, Prebendary Colin Carr also was called home. Founder of the Campaigner movement, he was a former speaker on this platform and for many years had held a convention in his own church in Paul's Portman Square in October. So God calls his own children one by one, but we thank God that he has preserved the witness of this convention down the years. We believe that he still has a purpose for it. As in past years, many who came for the first time to the convention without knowing really why went away with a new purpose in life, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ not only as Savior, but as Master and Lord. So as we wait on God together, let us pray that he will make himself known to us through the messages we shall hear from the platform, messages it may well be which will search and probe us, but by God's good hand bring us out into a wealthy place. Even in a crowd, it is possible to hear the still, small voice of God's Holy Spirit. And I think in this lovely setting, the lakeside and the hills of Keswick also lend themselves for getting apart from the crowd and having personal transactions with God, as has so often happened in past years. Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while I wait on thee, hushed my heart to listen in expectancy So before the Reverend Francis Dixon opens the Word of God to us in this first meeting of the convention, let us sing that hymn, number 18 in the hymn book, Speak, Lord, in the Stillness.
Take your Bibles, and may we turn to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 37, and read from verse 16. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 37, and reading from verse 16. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Poor Jeremiah, he was God's prophet. He was God's faithful servant. And it was because of his utter faithfulness to the Lord that he had been committed by the king and by the king's men into prison. It was because he would not flinch and would not turn from what he believed the Lord would have him do. There are many today who are behind bars and who are imprisoned in other ways by the hands of ungodly men simply because of their faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ. And while we come up and gather here in the comparative quiet and the beauty and the calm of this Lakeland town, how good it is for us to remember these mighty, although hidden, servants of God, men and women in many lands today who are suffering for Christ and for the sake of the gospel. But Zedekiah the king, who was responsible for this treatment, he suddenly became very fearful and worried. And we are told in this portion of scripture that he came to Jeremiah and asked him secretly, very secretly, so that no one else was listening, and probably no one else knew that he was asking the question. He came to Jeremiah, or he asked Jeremiah to come to him in his own house, and he said to him, "I say, I want to ask you, it's tremendously urgent. I've been thinking about this. It's weighing very heavily upon me. Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah replied immediately, and he said, "There is." And he proceeded to warn the king of judgment, of God's judgment that was to fall upon him and upon his people. And he also asked the king for food, lest he should be, lest he should starve and perish. Now, as soon as I heard that I was to have the privilege and responsibility of speaking at this opening meeting, I knew that God wanted me to speak from this passage. And the words to which I call your special attention in these few precious moments are in verse 17. "And the king asked him secretly in his house, saying, Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is." There are two things that we ought to notice here. And first of all, we should notice the question that was asked. Is there any word from the Lord? This surely, my dear friends, is the great question that we ask as we come up to this convention. Is there any word from the Lord? Has God a word to say to us at this time? Does he have anything special, and therefore with great authority, because it is his word, to say to us, not only in this meeting, but in this convention, and in this time where we shall be shut away with himself? What is God wanting to say to us during these days? Now, this, I'm sure, is the question that each speaker will want to ask each day. It's a responsibility to stand on this platform. How important it is before we stand before the people to know that we have God's word in our hearts and in our minds, ready to place upon our lips so that that word may enter into the hearts and into the ears of those who are listening. We do not come here to speak our own words. Our trembling is lest we should do that. We desire with all our hearts to speak the word of God, and we ask you therefore to pray that we may know what it is to go in secretly in our house and to ask, is there some word from the Lord for the people this day at Keswick? Please pray for us. This is the question, therefore, also that every listener and all who attend the convention must ask. What has God to say to me at this time? What has he got to say to me secretly, in the large meetings in the tent, or perhaps by the lakeside, or in the hotel or guest house, or in the house party? Our attitude should be, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The question that was asked, is there any word from the Lord? But there's a second thing we ought to notice here, and that is the answer that was given. How did Jeremiah answer the question? I want you to notice that there was no hesitation at all. He replied at once, there is. And thank God we can say the same today. Is there any word from the Lord? Oh, thank God, beloved friends, there is. Jeremiah didn't say, well, I'm not quite sure about this, just give me a little time to think about it. He didn't say, I wish I knew if there were some word from the Lord. He didn't say, I think so. He didn't say, maybe. He didn't say, well, does it really matter? He certainly didn't say, any word from the Lord? The Lord, well, I'm not quite sure about the Lord, where he is, whether he's up there or down there or over there. And he certainly didn't say, no, there's no word from the Lord because we've just discovered that God is dead. He didn't say that. When he was asked the question, is there any word from the Lord? He replied at once, in a flash, there is. Is this what you want to know? There is a word from the Lord, a solemn word, a clear word. And there's a word for us today. I believe there's a solemn word for our nation. Our chairman referred just now to the state of the world. You know, friends, I tremble for our beloved nation. God has been so very good to us, so very gracious to us. He's been so very patient with us. We've been spared so much that has befallen other peoples. But sin is rampant on every hand. We flaunt his holy laws, we blaspheme his name, we do little to stem the tides of evil. What is God's word for our nation? Is there any word from the Lord for our nation? I believe there is. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And there is a parallel passage to that, which I have read to you concerning Zedekiah and Jeremiah. Let me read it to you. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees. What do you think will happen to our nation if the tide of evil is not stemmed? Maybe we shall not be able to meet again as we are now met at Keswick. For surely God's judgment must fall upon a sinful people. God has been very patient with us, but God must judge our sins and our forgetfulness of him. There's a solemn word for our nation. It is a word of judgment. And there's a solemn word for the church. The church, by her authority and her purity, should and could be the channel of God's blessing to the nation and to the world. Perhaps the word that God is speaking to his church today is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Revival in the church could prevent revolution in the world and in the nation, and it could stay the hand of God's judgment. Yes, there's a word from the Lord for and about our nation, and there's a word from the Lord today for the church.
But I think quite rightly, what we are most concerned about is this. Is there any word from the Lord for me? For each of us personally, as we come up to this 1966 Keswick Convention, well, of course, my friends, there is a word from the Lord just for me and just for you. And in these remaining moments, I want to suggest what God may have to say to you. I want to be quite simple and informal as we do this and as we listen for his voice. I'm reminded that over 30 years ago, there stood on this platform that great little man of God, Dr. S.D. Gordon. And those of you who might have been present, I was not present, but those of you who might have been present on that occasion will remember that all the way through his address, he would stop every now and again and ask the question, "Are you listening?" And then he would go on. And then again he would say, "Are you listening?" And I believe if we are listening, we shall hear God's voice most surely. Let me put it to you like this by way of suggestion. Is there any word from the Lord for the young Christian, recently converted, the babe in Christ? Yes, there is. May I give you this word of counsel? From 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." As newborn babes, that is to say, as one who has just become a Christian recently, that describes you. What a wonderful thing it is, having entered into the kingdom of God, having been born into the family of God, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. What for? In order that you may grow into maturity. The very first holiday that I ever spent, apart from my parents, a good many years ago now, I went away to the South Coast, and I had a great desire during that holiday to get as fit as possible. And I was passing by a dairy on the first morning of the holiday, and I saw a notice advertising Guernsey milk, sixpence a pint. You can tell how long ago it was. No, as a matter of fact, it was sixpence a quart in those days. And I said to myself, I think I'll have some of that milk. I'm rather ashamed to tell you this, but every day for a fortnight I went into that dairy and I had a quart of milk. I'm not sure that these extra pinters are good for anybody of my age now, but they made their mark upon me, for when I came back from that holiday, all my friends gasped and looked at me. They said they'd never seen me look so well. You know, friends, there's only one way, if you are a new Christian, a young Christian, a babe in Christ, there's only one way to become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that is by desiring the sincere milk of the word in order that you may grow thereby. Is there any word from the Lord for the Christian who lacks certainty about sins forgiven and about acceptance with God? For the Christian who may have come up to this convention not sure of his or her salvation? Yes, there is. May I give you this word of assurance from John 5, 24? "Verily, verily, I say unto you," said Jesus, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed already out of death into life." Have you heard the word of the Lord? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Then the Lord Jesus himself tells you that you have everlasting life and that you will not come into condemnation, but that you have passed out of death and into life. So many people lack the assurance of salvation. I dare say there's some older folk here like that this evening. who come up to the convention and you're not absolutely sure of your sins forgiven. You're like the little girl who was going from the promenade up to the top of the cliff on one of these lifts. And as she went up, she became frightened and she said, "Mummy, I'm sure we'll get to the top all right, but I'm so afraid we won't." And I find there are so many people about like that. They're sure and yet they're not sure. They're in Doubting Castle. Take this word of assurance from the Lord himself. Is there any word from the Lord for the one who has come here who is out of touch with God? You know, the Bible uses an ugly word for such people. It is the word backslider. Is there any word for you? Yes, there is. May I give you this word of welcome? It is God's welcome. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't it a most wonderful thing that however far we've got away from the Lord, there's always a way back? And it may be you've come up to this convention and you've got away from the Lord. Is there any word for you? Yes, there is. In this word of Isaiah 55, verses 5 and 6, perhaps something happened recently. It was a terrible thing. Perhaps it was a moral lapse, or an emotional tangle, or a broken or strained relationship, a family row, a church upset. Oh, I want to ask you, do not leave it until later in the week. Get right with God now, at the beginning of the convention. Take this word. Seek the Lord, call upon him, forsake the thing upon which he places his finger, and return to him, and he will give you an abundant pardon. Is there any word from the Lord for someone who's come up to this convention perplexed and confused? If only you could see your way. In fact, you nearly didn't come because you've been so upset about things. If only you could know God's will. If only you could know what to do about that matter relating to the home and the family, or is it the business? Is there any word for you? Yes, thank God there is. May I give you Psalm 37, verse 5, a lovely word of direction. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Do you know what that means in simple terms? It means relax. Let the tension go. Put yourself and your perplexity into God's hand. Trust him, and he will bring to pass all that is for his glory and for your good and for the good of everybody else concerned. Is there any word from the Lord for the discouraged worker, who may even be in despair this evening? Perhaps your health has failed, and your health has been impaired because you really have been zealously serving the Lord with all your strength, and now your strength has gone, and you feel that your service has ended, and what is more, your future is unknown. Is there any word for you? Yes, there's a word of encouragement. May I give you Isaiah 41:10? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Is there any word here for the mourner? Is there any word from the Lord for someone who is in great trouble? There must be many in a congregation like this who've come here with a great burden resting upon them. Is there any word from the Lord for you? Yes, there is. A word of comfort, and a word of hope, and a word to dispel your fears. May I give you Psalm 50, verse 15, where God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." That word fits your case. And finally, is there any word here for someone who is not yet a Christian? You know, it's a very interesting thing, but every year, I believe it is true to say that every year a number of people come up to this convention, which, of course, is planned for ministry to Christian men and women. They come up to the convention and they are not, in the true, full sense of the word, Christians. And it may be that you come to this first meeting tonight, and that is true of you. Is there any word from the Lord for the fellow or girl, the man or woman, who has not yet entered into the kingdom of God? May I give you Hebrews 3:7? The Holy Ghost says, "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." There's a word of invitation and a word of warning. The invitation is, if ye will hear his voice, come. The word of warning is, do not harden your heart. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Do not let any barrier remain between yourself and the Lord Jesus, who loves you and died for you and waits at this very moment, while I'm speaking and while you're listening, to enter into your heart. And at this moment, you could bring that barrier down. You could pray the prayer, "Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come." You know, all this is very simple, isn't it? But why should it be otherwise? There are many other words from the Lord, and if we are listening, we shall hear him speaking to us this week, and over again we shall hear, "Thus and thus saith the Lord." May we be given grace to hear his word, and having heard his word, to do his will. Shall we bow together in prayer? Our blessed Lord, we thank thee for thy word to us, and for all that thou art waiting to say to us this week as we gather here. May we, like Samuel of old, have the listening ear. And may we pray the prayer individually, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And thus may we hear thee speaking to us by thy Spirit, in thy word, through thy servants, and for thy glory and our good, for Jesus' sake. Amen.